thank God for that. Genesis chapter number 29, maybe a peculiar message according to the way the service has been tonight. Nevertheless, ever since Brother Toby asked me to come, this is what's been on my heart. So you do pray for me tonight. I'll try to be mindful of the time. But do ask God to help me tonight and give me what I stand in need of. Genesis 29, verse number 15. The Bible said, "And Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be?" And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, "I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter." And Laban said, "It is better that I give her to thee than I should give her to another man. Abide with me." And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. And Jacob said unto Laban, "Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her." And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah his daughter and brought her to him, and he went in unto her. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpha his maid for a handmaid. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah, and he said to Laban, "What is this that thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve with thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me?" And Laban said, "It must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee also this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week. And he gave him Rachel his daughter to wife. And Laban gave to Rachel his daughter Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren." Help me pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, again for the good day. I thank you, Lord, for your blessings of life. I thank you for the benefits of being saved. Thank you, Lord, tonight for allowing us to be in your house once again. Thank you, Lord, for this good church, this good pastor. Thank you, Lord, for this good camp meeting, Lord. I appreciate it, Lord. Thank you for Brother Dixon tonight, what he means to my heart. Appreciate each man of God, Lord, that's in this place tonight, each church member that we've grown to love through the years. Thank you, God, tonight for allowing some to continue on in this good way. Lord, I appreciate, God, tonight the good singing. How, Lord, it's helped my heart. Appreciate, God, the good preaching today. How it's challenged me, Lord, and woken me to some things in my life. I appreciate it, God. But, Lord, I come to you, God, tonight now asking for help on my own. Praying, God, that you may be mindful to me and help me to preach one more time. Asking, God, that you might help me and hide me in the cross and let me get loose tonight, Lord. I do pray for thy honor and thy glory. I ask you, God, tonight, Lord, to touch me one more time. Lord, I pray, God, that you'll give me grace and to preach me, God. I do pray. Help, Lord, tonight my preaching, God, not to be, Lord, with wisdom of man's word, but helping, God, to be in power and demonstration, God, tonight of the Holy Ghost. I do pray. I ask, God, that you'll move upon my heart. Help me, God, to get loose. Lord, help me to lose sight of myself, God, tonight. I do pray. And to give me this one more time, God, to preach your word. I do beg. Help me, God, to bring honor to your high and holy name. It's my prayer. I ask, God, that you'll work a work in hearts tonight. I pray, God, that you'll open the hearts of these thy people. Open my heart, God, tonight, and let us hear from heaven, God, tonight. I do beg. Lord, it's been a joy to worship you, God, tonight. It's been a joy to hear these shout once again. But I pray, oh Lord, that you might work your work in hearts now, and let the Word of God have free course. I do pray. I beg you, God, tonight, to strengthen the people of God, encourage and discourage tonight, strengthen the weak. I pray, God, for those that are away, God, drawn cold. I ask you, God, to work in their hearts tonight. I do pray for these, God, that's surrounded by trouble and heartache and tragedy. I beg you, God, to help them to realize where they're at and see the need of glorifying you, God. I beg you, Lord, that you'd move now, God, just for a few minutes. Move on me and breathe on me, God, one more time. I do beg and preach to me, Lord. It may be my last time, and I want to do my best for you tonight. So, God, I pray, Lord, that you'll fill me, Lord, with thy spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Verse number 17 is where I want to take my text tonight. It's going to be probably odd to you where I want to take my text from, but nevertheless, you pray for me tonight. Verse number 17 said, Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. I want to preach tonight, the Lord being my helper, just for a few minutes on when God gives you something that's hard to look at. When God gives you something that's hard to look at. Now, you know the story tonight of Jacob in the previous chapter, chapter number 28. His father Isaac charges him or commands him to go to Padan Aram and take there a wife from his mother's brother there. We know the story. We know how that he sets out on his journey and the night begins to fall and he gathers up some stones there and he makes for himself a pillow that night. As he falls asleep, he begins to dream a dream, the Bible said. And he saw a vision and he saw angels ascending and descending upon a ladder. And he awoke and he was fearful and he said, how dreadful this place is. It's none other but the house of God. He said, I was in this place, or the Lord was in this place and I knew it not. And we know the story how he arose that day and gathered up them stones and made an altar and vowed a vow that morning and said, if God will be with me and if He'll go with me and if He'll give me bread and grain to put on, then I'll serve Him. And he went his way. And you find out God is about to keep His end of the bargain with Jacob. Jacob gets down there in the land and begins to set by a well. And there's people and cattle and sheep coming in. And he's longing to meet somebody from his mother's family. Ain't it amazing as he's desiring this and asking questions about this? Here comes Rachel along. Ain't it amazing how God works things out? And as this young girl walks up and they begin to inquire of her, the men tell her who she is, and he runs to her, embraces her there, and kisses her and tells her who he is that day, and he begins to water her sheep. He falls in love with this young woman. He feels like God has prospered his journey and give him everything that he was so desired. He comes to the house of Laban. Laban said, you won't serve me for naught. What do you need? What do your wages be? And he said, I'll serve you for Rachel. Just give me Rachel. I'll serve you for 7 years. Amen. Everybody knows that story. But here comes somebody along by the name of Leah. And it says she was tender-eyed. But Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. Rachel was that young woman that would turn your head, you might say. She was beautiful to look upon. Her beauty was captivating to old Jacob. Just the sight of her caused him to fall in love. But here Leah is, and she is maybe not so attractive. She's tender-eyed. I looked that word up, you know, and began to study on that a little bit, and it means that she squinted. Her eyes was something wrong with them. She couldn't see very well. Now it looks like, you know, that you could probably preach this message two different ways. You could preach it from Jacob's standpoint on him, God giving him Leah. But I don't want to look at it from Jacob's standpoint, but I want to look at it through Leah's standpoint tonight. When God gives you something hard to look at. Amen. Amen. Now I don't know about you tonight, but I sure did enjoy the fact that we was able to worship around here. It was good to hear these shouts again. Boy, it was a blessing, wasn't it? It's good to see smiling faces. It's good to see people in worship with folks that I haven't worshiped with in years, just to be honest with you. It's been good to see these older brethren and hear them preach and fellowship with them. But I'm telling you, if we was all honest in our heart, there's days of heartache, there's days of trial, there's days of tragedy in our lives that we do not understand. We get together in these meetings, everybody shouting, everybody happy, and we can kind of fit in and put a smile on our face. But I'd have to say tonight that I'm probably preaching to some folks that God's given you some things in the past few days of your life that are hard to look upon. Amen. God's put some things in your path. That's what Brother Dixon was talking about. When the thing happened to him falling off the ladder, God put something in his life that was hard to look upon. This young lady, Leah, all she wanted was the love of her husband. That was her only. was giving him her all, and all she wanted from him was his all.
Amen.
But he wouldn't get it because he loved somebody else. Amen. But God still put this man in Leah's life. Here she is, and the story goes on. And you know how he works and serves for Rachel, and when it's time for those days to be accomplished, and for Rachel to be given unto Jacob, Laban kind of tricks him there and brings Leah in. He wakes up the next morning and finds out that it's not that beautiful young maid. It's not that fair complexion. A girl that turned his head. It's that girl right there that had the funny eyes, that squinted at him. And he didn't understand that this didn't matter to her. All she wanted was to be loved and to love. Amen. But as the days went on, she realized right quick that the love would not be shared. She was giving her everything, but in return, getting nothing. And she's hurting in her heart. And she's crying herself to sleep at night because of the problems that's going on. His mind's somewhere else. He says to his father-in-law, what have you done to me? You've beguiled me. Well, it's not our tradition to give the younger before the older. I serve again. He's willing to give 7 more years of labor in his life for this woman, Rachel. And the whole time, he doesn't have any affection towards Leah. He does not have any desire toward her. Every day his heart grows colder. Every day his looks toward her get harder. And the whole time, she just wants to be loved.
Amen.
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 I'd like to say that every day, you know, is a mountaintop experience, but boy, I'd be telling you a lie, wouldn't I? Most of the days is heartaches, just be honest with you. Most of the days is looking at that problem that stares you in the face day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, and realizing it's not getting any better, but it's constantly getting worse. And because of that, your heart's getting harder, and you don't understand, and you can't figure this out. And where there was once joy of the Lord, and where once you would get in on worship, raise your hands, testify, and shout, now you just kind of blend in when everybody else is doing it. Because all you can see is the hard things, or the ugly things, the tragic things in your life that God has given you. You don't understand it. You can't figure it out. All you want to do is experience the love of the Father. All you want to do is have a relationship with Him. And you're wondering, why in the world is all this happening to me? Amen. That's right.
Amen.
She's tender-eyed. She's hard to look at. But don't you know, every day that she lives, Jacob's getting harder and harder to look at. What did the Scripture say? And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, He opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. I'm glad God can see you in the midst of your trial. When you're flat on your back, when we're murmuring, when we're complaining, when we're saying, what's the use? I'm glad God can look at you when you've got the towel in your hand, got it wound up and about to throw it in. I'm glad He can see you and open some things in your life and burst some things in for you. Oh, praise His name tonight. It ain't all good days. It ain't all happy days. I want to go ahead and tell you it ain't all bad days either. I'm glad I'm serving Him who loved me and gave Himself for me. So I may have to look at some hard things. Though there may be days of misunderstanding. Though there may be more days of valleys than there are mountaintops. I'm glad God is still birthing some things in our hearts tonight. He opened up her womb. All these years, she's been buried. And God opens her womb and she conceives, the Bible says. Notice what she does in verse number 32. And Leah conceived and bare son. And she called his name Reuben. For she said, now listen to what she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. She said, the Lord's seen where I'm at. He's took knowledge of me. He knows what I'm going through. I want to go ahead and tell you, He knew what she was going through that first
named Reuben. This is the child of sore distress. She said, surely the Lord's looked upon me, seen my affliction. Now the Lord will love me. She acknowledges Jehovah, looks like to me, for the first time in her life. She takes knowledge that God has looked upon her. All these other days, it makes no reference to her acknowledging God. All these other days, she's just growing more bitter and more bitter with more worries and wonderings. Why can I not win the heart of this man? Every day of trial in your life, you may not admit it. You might want to stand and say, I'm strong. I can handle this. But I'm telling you, it'll wear you out. It'll wear you down. The longer the valley, the longer it goes, the harder the trial. If God don't intervene quickly in most of our lives, a distress comes upon us.
Amen.
Amen. She's distressed. She's at the end of her rope. She can't go no further. But it looks like God has seen her. He has. He's intervened. And because He's intervened, now my husband's going to love me.
Amen.
Amen. Boy, when those days of trial come along and then all of a sudden there's a blessing and a birth in your life. There's joy. We recognize Jehovah. Look what He's done. Look how good He's done. But I'm telling you, this didn't last many days. And she realized right quick that her problem wasn't over. You know why? Because Jacob didn't even acknowledge the fact that he had a son. He didn't look at her. He didn't love her any different. He didn't say, hey, it's going to be different now. Since you was able to give me a boy, since he's my firstborn, it's going to be different. I'm going to love you. No, he looked at her with hate in his eyes because he loved Rachel. He loved the other woman. And don't you know, when this happened in Leah's life, she looked around with more disappointment and more distress and said, why can this be happening to me?
Amen.
I really thought things was going to be different.
Amen.
How many days have you said that? How many days after great battles and you feel like you win a little bit of small victory in your life, how many days do you look around and say, oh, it's different now. The distress is gone. The storm's over. The choir sings till the storm passes over. Till the thunder sounds no more. Till the lightning flashes from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Jehovah's heard me. He's seen me. He knows what I'm going through. He's blessed me. Everything's better now. But guess what? Everything's not better.
Amen.
Amen. Everything's not fixed. I appreciate the blessings that come along in our lives at just the right time.
Amen.
Amen. We think a lot of times, being human, that it's automatically going to solve the problem, fix the problem. But really all it is droplets of grace to get you through another day.
Amen.
Amen. Am I making sense tonight? I hope I am to you tonight. I know some said today, every time you come, you're different. Last time I come to truth, I've lost a lot of weight. Don't wear the same suit size. This time I come, said you're different. You're wearing your hair different. Well, I hope I can say tonight, after all that's changed, I hope my preaching ain't changed anyway.
Amen.
Amen. I hope you don't say, well, he's changed in that area.
Amen.
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 That's right. I think I'm still preaching the same way I always have.
Amen.
Okay, right? And this is kind of using the line I take. I try to get in your heart, make you understand some things. There's some things that God puts in our life that's hard to look at.
Amen.
What does the Scripture say again? In the next verse, verse number 33, God's not finished with Leah right here. He's not done. But the Scripture said, verse number 33, and she conceived again, and she bare a son, and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, He hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. Simeon was the son of simple disappointment. She's got a son of distress, and now she's got a son of disappointment. She don't understand it right now. She thinks this is going to fix her problem. She's got another boy. She's given Jacob another son. This has got to fix it. He's going to look at me when I place that baby in his home. don't.
Amen.
Amen. She said, Jehovah looked on me. Now Jehovah's heard that I was hated. Jehovah's heard some things about you too.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He's heard what you're going through.
Amen.
He knows what you're facing in life.
Amen.
He knows what's going on. I'm glad of that. Ain't you?
Amen.
He knows about it tonight. And here he's about to drop another blessing in the life of Leah. She can't see it as a blessing right now. And you probably can't see some things that's going on in your life as a blessing. You probably see it as a burden. But I'm telling you right now, God may have put some things in your life that's hard to look upon. But He's going to bless you in the end.
Amen.
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 Amen. Disappointed. Is anybody in here? Would anybody hear it tonight be honest and say, hey, I've been distressed. I've been disappointed about some things. You just heard this old preacher right here tell you, hey, I got in the shape where I didn't like the way the church was going, the shape it was in. And you know what he's saying? I'm disappointed about some things. And I don't understand some things. And why is this happening? And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, if this man, how long have you been preaching, Brother Dixon? 64 years. If he can get distressed, if he can get discouraged, don't think you're too big that you can. Amen. Don't think you can't tonight. Discouragement is all around. It's depressing. It's a depressing time. Now, I'm not trying to dampen the service. And maybe we can get it up in just a few minutes, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you. You call a few preachers and you listen to what's going on in their churches. You sat with a few families like I've sat with recently. And you'll get down, buddy. It'll break your heart over the things that's going on. And you'll look at this and say, why in the world has God put this in my life? Why? Jehovah, you saw me. You've heard what was happened to me. Why won't Jacob love me?
Amen.
Why can't I reap some of the benefits of serving God? Why can't I, instead of having days of heartache and trouble, why can't I enjoy it? But if you look around and you come to church and you hear some of these shouts and you hear some of these testify and you say, why can't I do that? Why can't I be like, they got it made. They're enjoying life. God's good to them. You don't know how much farther along they are. They may have already been in distress. They may have already been disappointed. They may be on the last son that I'll get to in a few minutes. But you ain't there yet. You're discouraged tonight with all this that's going on in your life. Amen. I get discouraged. Amen. Fourth Sunday of this month, if the Lord allows me to live, 20 years ago on that Sunday night, I stood up at High Point First Congregational Methodist Church on the left side and stood up and said, God has called me to preach. 20 years ago. 20 years ago. Boy, it's been good. It's been good. There's been so much joy and there's been so much happiness until December of last year. Until December of last year. And I've never been more discouraged and I've never been more distressed and I've never had more things come against me or my home or my ministry. For my life.
Think about
it. In 1 year. All the 19 other now, I've faced a few things. I've had some hard times. And they weren't even really hard times. They were just bumping the road. But I'm talking about for a year, almost a year of my life, 9, 10 months. I've been in place I've never been before. God has given me some things that's hard to look at. Oh, I don't understand it. I don't understand it. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, it's affected me. It's affected me as a preacher. It's affected me as a person. I'm talking about leaving Christianity aside. I'm talking about leaving the call of God aside. All them other sort of things, just as a person. It's got up in here.
and mess me up. I know the Lord's seen. I know the Lord's heard. And I know He's given some things. Amen.
Amen.
But I've never been more discouraged. Never been more discouraged. Brother Colby called and said, I want you to come. And I've had a few calls like them here lately, and it's been on the tip of my tongue to say, no, this ain't going to come. I stay in no shape to come. And never have prayed about meeting. Now, I understand what I'm saying. As an evangelist, I've evangelized for years. When somebody called, I never said, let me pray about it. I just went because I felt like that's what God had called me to do. I said, if you're the man of God and you've prayed about it and you think I'm the man, I'll go. But you know what I've started doing here lately? Let me pray about it. And that's my way of hoping I can get out of it. Because I'm discouraged. Distressed.
God bless you.
Bless you, praise you.
Verse number 34. And she's recognized Jehovah on the first two sons.
Right.
But listen to verse number 34. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. Did you hear anything about her acknowledging God? Did she say Jehovah's heard? Did she say Jehovah's seen? Did she say God has looked upon me? No. No. She says nothing about God. She's acknowledged Him twice. And it looks like the battle's getting tougher. It looks like Jacob's hate for her is bigger and hotter than it ever has been. And now she can't even acknowledge the fact that God's done anything in her life.
Amen.
You better be careful.
Amen.
You better be careful. Because distress and discouragement will always lead you further. Amen. Disappointment will always lead you further. Levi is the child of simple disappointment, or simple discouragement, really. Spiritual discouragement. That word she says there, she conceived again and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me. She's saying he's going to be associated with me. He's going to understand what I've been going through. He's going to feel my pain. He's going to feel my pain. Ain't there days in your life when you scratch your head and say, Lord, do you even understand what I'm going through? I got one head nod. One honest person in here. One honest person in here. Every one of you has done it.
Amen.
Every one of you said, what is going on, Lord?
Amen.
Amen. She is so discouraged that she can't even acknowledge God anymore. She don't know what's going on. She don't know who these men or who these babies are going to turn out to be. She don't realize that. She don't know what's going on. But other than Judah, there's not a more illustrious son than Levi. You understand that, don't you? You know who Levi was. And the tribes that come along, that's what's taking place. That's what God is forming right here. She don't understand it. She don't know what He's doing. But the priesthood is about to come out of this boy right here.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You don't know what's going to come out of your discouragement.
Amen.
You don't know what's going to come out of your distress. Amen. You don't know what's going to come out of your disappointments tonight. Because all you can see is the hard things that God's given you to look at. Her heart's broke. She just wants Jacob to love him, love her. She don't understand. She can't figure it out. She's forgot about Jehovah. She's not acknowledged Him. It's just another baby.
Amen.
What does it matter anybody anyway? Nobody's taking knowledge of it.
God is.
The one person that she's trying to impress, the one person that she's trying to win his heart, he don't care.
Right.
You've tried to live for God. You've tried to serve Him year after year after year after year after year.
And we sing and we smile and we talk about it getting sweeter as the days go by, and it does. But every day is not a sweet day. Amen.
Amen.
She's not praying anymore. She's not acknowledging God anymore. Discouragement will bring you to a depression in your life. You turn on your TVs, you turn on your radio, there's more about depression now than there ever has been.
Amen.
Amen. And we take pills to get us up, and we take pills to bring us down, and we take pills to level us out, just so we can function in life. Just to cope, exactly. We serve in joy with gladness, trying to win the heart of God, trying to be the best we can be. But day after day, day after day, day after day, we're faced with another trial. And us, as complex as we are, and the brain that we have, and how we're fearfully and wonderfully made, and we try to figure all this out up in here, and we can't figure it out because you don't know the mind of God.
Amen.
And you don't know what God's doing. And you don't know what's going to come in the end.
Amen.
You don't know the outcome of these things. All you can see is here, and all you can see is now, and the only question you can come up with is why? 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 You look around, and this is blessed. His ministry is booming. Yours is sitting stagnant. You look at her, and she's being blessed, and God's blessed her with a good home, and she's got kids, and her kids are shouting, and her kids is attending church regularly, and they're so excited, and yours is wayward.
Say on, preacher.
You look at that husband and wife at church, and they're and it's like they've been married 40 or 50 years, and it's almost like they're still dating. That's how in love they are. I got a couple in my church that's been married 50 years, and they act like teenagers. They sit like this right here all through the service. Max and Pula Till. You know them, Brother Ross, don't they? They walk. I go visiting with them. We go to the hospital. They walk down the hall of the hospital holding hands. We look at that, and our marriage or your marriage, or there's little bumps here and there. And your spouse don't treat you like that, and your spouse has did this, and your spouse has done that, and your spouse don't want to love you, and they don't want to pray with you, and they don't want to go to church with you. Why can't I have that? Lord, you say you're no respecter of persons. Now the questions are getting bigger. Lord, you said you was no respecter of persons, but why is it so much easier for them than it is me? She's discouraged. If she was in our local assembly, she would sit like this right here. She would come in, sit on the back. She would have her three sons, and she'd sit like this right here. Everybody around her would be testifying and shouting. She'd look around, tears in her eyes. She'd try to smile. She'd try to come through the door and smile. And somebody said, "How's it going?" "Oh, I'm doing good." "How's Jacob?" "Oh, he's wonderful. He's so good to me." Is that right? Is that how we do? She'd sit on the pew, and service goes on. She'd evaluate it, and I'm a very, very analytical person. I just think about things way too much. And the more I think about it, the bigger of a hole I dig. I think that's why for the past 9 months I've been in such a mess, because I'm trying to figure all this out. Amen? All I can say, she's looking around, and she's seeing the church, and she's seeing folks happy, and she's seeing folks enjoy the Lord. But she can't see that, because all she can see is the hard things. The ugly things that God put in her life. I think I went over the 30 minutes. I apologize.
Good job.
Amen.
You're doing well.
God's not finished. She's got a child of distress. She's got a child of disappointment. She got a child of discouragement. She's acknowledged Him twice, but now there's no acknowledging God. But she conceives again. Verse number 35. It says, and she conceived again and bare a son, and she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah, and she left bearing. Judah was the child of splendid destiny. She's got a child of discouragement, a child of distress, a child of disappointment. But now all of a sudden in her life, she's starting to figure some things out. All of a sudden it does not really matter if Jacob loves her. All of a sudden it does not matter if his attention or his favor ever turns toward her. You know what she realizes? Through every bit of this, even though Jacob didn't want her, the Lord did.
Amen.
Amen. You know what the tribe of Judah, you know who sprang out of that, don't you? Amen. This little old woman that was hard for everybody else to look at, and this little old woman that couldn't see good, and a lot of things was hard for her to look upon because she was ugly, you might say, and her life was ugly. But out of that ugliness comes something beautiful. Amen. Amen. Is that right? John said, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. Amen. She don't know it right now, but out of her disappointments, out of her distress, out of her heartaches, out of her sorrow, is about to come the seed of David. You don't know that. You don't know what good things God's going to bring through. The hard things that's in your life that is hard for you to look at. Amen. You remember the Apostle Paul, don't you? In the book of 2 Corinthians, and he was exalted, the Bible said, lest he should be exalted above measure. He said, the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. He said, for this thing I sought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me, this hard thing in his life, this thing that he couldn't hardly look at, couldn't stand to look at, these things that he didn't understand. He said, Lord, take it away.
Amen.
God bless you.
There's many days when I've said, Lord, take it away. Lord, I got to get away from this. I can't live like this. I can't live like this. You can't live like it either. Not the way you're going. Leah couldn't have lived like she was had not that fourth child came. And she turned back to God.
Amen.
And if you don't turn back to God, you don't know the likes of depression that you're headed into.
Amen.
Amen. You don't know the levels of discouragement that you can get into.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
You don't know heartache and you don't know trial like you say you know right now if you don't turn back to God this
Amen.
Day.
Amen.
He said, hey, I've been exalted, lest I be exalted. There was a messenger of Satan that would come and buffet me. And he said three times, I said, Lord, take this away. Take this thorn out of my flesh. Do away with it. I could be a better preacher. I could be a better pastor. I could be a better mama. I could be a better wife. I could be a better husband. I could be a better daddy. Lord, if you just take these things away from me, I could be better. But He ain't taking it away. And you're not getting better. You're getting bitter. But you know what Paul said? I've noticed, even though he didn't take these things away from me, but he said something to me. Right there when I was asking him to take it away, he said the Lord spoke to me. And he said this, verse number 9, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for in my strength is made perfect in weakness. Amen. And listen what he said. Listen what Paul said. That was Jesus speaking. Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Talking about Paul's. And then Paul looks up and he said, well, I'll most gladly therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Leah said, Jacob may not take knowledge. Jacob may not love me. But Jehovah's took knowledge of me. And He's given me four babies. And because of that, I'm going to praise God. I'm telling you tonight, whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, whatever your trial is, instead of letting it beat you down, instead of sticking your head in the sand, lift your hands toward heaven and praise His name. I'm telling you tonight, His grace is still sufficient for whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, whatever your heartache is, whatever your burden is, His grace is sufficient. Some things that's hard to look upon. All of us has got them.
Amen.
And if we don't get a hold of God in these days, amen.
Right.
And if He don't come along, He's coming along and He's blessing and He's helping. But if we don't go back to acknowledging what He's doing, see, Leah needed an outlet.
Amen.
She thought that Jacob loving her would be her outlet and would fix her problems.
Amen.
A lot of you have got it figured out that if it would just work like this, that would be my outlet and it would be bad. Amen. Is that right?
Amen.
And you've even tried to persuade God in how to do this. Is that right? But He ain't listening. He ain't listening. But Judah come along and she said, you know what? I'm tired of this. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of everything that I look at is discouragement. I'm tired of everything that I look at is a disappointment. She's got three baby boys, four baby boys. She can't even enjoy them. She can't even enjoy them. She has this fourth boy, Judah. Got him in her arms. Jacob walks by, goes on by, says nothing about it. And she says, you know what? I could get really bothered about this. And I could say hard things and hurtful things to him. And I could complain to God. But instead of doing that, you know what? I've been blessed. God's been good to me. There's no mention of God in Laban's family until Jacob comes along anyway. You realize that, don't you? You realize that, don't you? They're idol worshippers. That's right. You'll find that out. That girl that he loved so much, Rachel, he didn't know when he carried her back home she was going to carry some things in her pocket. Amen. That's right. Those things that you may think's real beautiful and you got to have it may be an idol to you. Amen. Those things that are bringing you such discouragement and such heartache may truly in the end turn out to be a blessing.
Amen.
If you'll just acknowledge God.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.
Praise.
Amen.